This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning, together with Lin Ma. And of course, this is The Morning Run. It has just gone past 7:06 in the morning. It's the last working day of the month, Friday, 30th of October. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Cheong Yen Lee, who is the Associate Director at PwC, on the logistics industry in Malaysia. But before that, we take a look at global markets because although it was a public holiday on Thursday, it was a rather choppy two-day trading session in the US. Nonetheless, the Dow did actually end up on a positive note last night. So the Dow was up 0.5%, S&P 500 was up 1.1%, and NASDAQ was up 1.6%. Meanwhile, in Asia, it's pretty much a red day because the Nikkei was down 0.4%, Hang Seng was down 0.5%, Shanghai Composite was up 0.1%, while the Straits Times Index was down 1.3%. And of course, we were closed due to a public holiday. But to find out where global markets are heading, we have on the line with us Peter Lundgren, CEO of Lundgren's Capital. Good morning, Peter. Now, US stock indices have been very volatile this week. So it closed up positive yesterday and then it was down quite spectacularly the day before. So the VIX index, which is a measurement of volatility, has been rising. Now, has fear taken over investor sentiment in equity markets? Are we seeing the end of the buy everything rally?
Good morning. I think what we are exploring right now is what I would call a new normal for a period, at least. It will be a new normal for the rest of this year and maybe until mid next year. It's actually also reflecting the uncertainties in the economies and for the companies due to the COVID-19 crisis. And so far, it will take some months before we have a vaccine, and until that is sort of a bit settled, we will see higher volatility, and like we've seen this week, it will be sort of the market I expect us to see. Overall, it will be a bit sort of sideways trading, but with higher volatility.
All right. And last night, you know, big tech reported in the US, right? So we had Amazon, Apple, Facebook and Twitter all releasing their numbers. Which impressed you the most, actually?
That was Facebook. And they are actually doing very well. And it looks sort of sustainable. Some of the very large tech and web-based giants, of course, are supported by the change in consumer behavior, like Amazon due to the COVID-19, but Facebook is really steady and back on track, and I expect the growth to continue also sort of after the COVID-19 effects. So that looks very sustainable and it is actually very positive. Otherwise, also Alphabet, the mother of Google, is looking healthy. So that is interesting as well. And I would say on Apple, one thing, I know that the iPhone 12 has been delayed. Normally, it would be launched in Q3, but it would be coming Q4. But what is interesting is all the other services they are selling in terms of service supporting their own products or other merchandise is actually increasing. The sales is increasing quite significantly, and that is very interesting.
And Peter, you know, everyone's was paying attention to the tech earnings. It almost didn't matter that US actually released their third quarter GDP numbers. And it showed the strongest gain on record with an annualized jump of 33%. But does this tell us anything about fourth quarter and the momentum of growth there?
Yeah, I actually think we will see some momentum coming into the fourth quarter when we're talking about general growth. For the tech companies, they will continue. Twitter is disappointing. The other tech companies, they will continue the momentum. Though if we look into the macroeconomic environment, as the GDP growth numbers, probably were helped a bit by the optimism in the late summer, particularly in September. And now we are seeing some a bit sort of setback due to the increasing COVID-19 numbers. So the macroeconomic outlook for Q4 is a bit more depressed.
And if we turn our attention to Europe, you know, France and Germany, of course, EU's two largest economies, how severely will the new restrictions bring down Eurozone's growth forecast this quarter? Because we have seen sharp increases in COVID-19 cases. So what do you think of ECB's response at their meeting yesterday?
Yeah, if we take sort of the COVID-19 effects on the economy in France, Germany, the Eurozone in general as a first. Very, very unlucky, I believe, and trust it will sort of, burden the Q4 growth more than expected. And basically also, if we look into the comments from Ms. Lagarde, the president of the European Central Bank yesterday, she was telling us that the outlook is sort of worsening. And the response is basically they have promised as much as they can. There will be more quantitative easing in December, though they won't cut the rates, but they will simply increase the quantitative monetary policy in pumping more liquidity out the system. And they will also sort of prolong the programs even further out. But I have argued for long that the ECB is, what I would say, running out of ammunition. It will support the stock markets and will please investors, but it won't really support and help the economy a lot. And we should notice, when we look at the Eurozone, that the consumer prices are still decreasing. The producer prices are also decreasing. It indicates that the demand is slumping. And right now, even the EU-wide budget is blocked due to some political infight, and it also means that the 750 billion large, huge rescue fund is actually getting delayed. Maybe it should be paid out from the 1st of January. So we have, and I have become more downbeat on the Eurozone economy within the past months, and especially 14 days.
But are you more upbeat on China? Because yesterday, the China's Central Committee plenum session ended. Do you think it holds much significance for global markets? And what could be the possible outcomes and reforms do you see coming out of it?
Yeah, I expect the new five-year plan that is discussed this week in the Communist Party, and that we will be presented for probably in March, will focus heavily on domestic growth in China, and it will including a very clear focus on higher private consumption. This will attract global investors. Investors will move into Chinese equities, and actually, I regard China as very fit and looking more fit than other economies right now. So we have upgraded our view on China. We are more positive within the last months. It will even be so positive that it will have a positive effect on several economies in the region, like Malaysia, Philippines and Vietnam.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Peter Lundgren, CEO of Lundgren's Capital, giving us his view on global markets. And it seems like he's very positive on China. He's overweight there. And as a result, it benefits some of the countries nearby, which includes even Malaysia. What were your key takeaways, Lynn?
Yeah, I was quite intrigued by his comments on the tech earnings that we have also seen coming out of the US. Because, I mean, Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, they all reported earnings. But Peter kind of highlighted Facebook as the one that was perhaps the most sustainable and then one that was not so much buoyed by the unusual activity surrounding COVID-19 habits. Now, Facebook did see their revenue climb on strong digital ad spend despite a decrease in users for both the US and Canada. Revenue came in at about $21.5 billion from $17.6 billion a year ago.
Yeah, that's like a GDP of a small country when you think about it. But we'll get into the details of all the tech earnings later on at 8:30 with Dan Ives from Wedbush Securities. He'll give us the lowdown in terms of which numbers beat expectations and which ones didn't. And we'll also Nonetheless, be looking at the Chinese economy in greater detail later on. But I tell you, in terms of, you know, corporate deal making, it seems to be starting ramping up again because LVMH, they have finally agreed to buy Tiffany at a slightly lower price. So they've decided to bury the hatchet, agree on a new deal. So LVMH will acquire Tiffany for $15.8 billion, slightly lower than the $16.6 billion price tag that it agreed to last November. So unsurprisingly, companies or investment banks like Credit Suisse, their third quarter balance sheet was saved by all these deal-making IPOs. So revenue at the unit that deals with IPOs tripled at $332 million at the bank, and driving a 52% increase in overall capital markets revenue. And this is something we've also seen in Japan at UBS.
Yeah, so UBS Group is also on a hiring spree over in Tokyo. It's hired 3 analysts to its research team, 6 people for its global markets operations in Japan. And they aren't the only European bank that's adding people in Tokyo, because BNP Paribas SA, they're strengthening their yen bond team as well on expectations that renewed volatility will spur trading by clients.
So it looks like it's good times again at all the investment banks, even though we are facing a global recession. But up next, we'll be speaking to Cheong Len Yen Lee, Associate Director at PwC on the logistics industry. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.